Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into some running back tiers, which should be out over the weekend or early next week. It's a pretty big deep dive, right? You got over 100 players I'm trying to contextualize. So I'm doing some research on each of them, contracts, all that stuff. But I was looking at some of the efficiencies, some of the stats from 2020 that might be hidden in terms of some ideas to maybe capitalize on. So just taking a look here, just, you know, 9 or 10 different players I think are sort of in our sphere of whether it's one injury away guys or potential buy lows and startup drafts or tack on and trades. All of them I think we should give some consideration to, right? If maybe we should readjust some of our expectations. So I'll just say, in terms of some of the efficiency stuff, right? Travion Williams absolutely lapped Gio Bernard. Again, low volume, but hyper efficient in terms of yards per route run and some of the rushing metrics as well in terms of expectation and all those things. Gio was not good in terms of yards over expectation and after contact stuff, which is so much of what that over expectation stat is. So again, the Gio contract is cuttable. They could save the money, and you know, I think $5-6 million, something like that. They could absolutely save that and cut him and roll with Travion Williams as an RB2. Doubt that happens. Maybe he comes back on a rework contract or something like that, Gio. But I'm not so sure that if given a full off season and given a full opportunity in the preseason, that Travion Williams doesn't insert himself into being a potential RB2 on that team. And again, Mixon coming off an injury. We don't know the full extent of that injury either, right? It seems like they have this lying season thing that they do where they, oh, he's coming back in a week. He's coming back in a couple weeks. He'll be back. And they don't put anyone on IR and they basically burn a roster spot for like 10 weeks. Him and AJ Green did the same thing in terms of Mixon. So Travion Williams is one that I think, again, deep down the line, right, that's a name to absolutely monitor, and I think a name that you should be, you know, adding in terms of you know, late startup drafts. Again, I don't know if your free agencies or anything like that's open, but 290 in terms of real draft position early on, running back 72, and that's behind, you know, Eno Benjamin, you know, some of these other guys as well, you know, Salvin Ahmed, right? So that's kind of the range that you're in. But I think he was sneaky good, sneaky efficient. So that would be definitely one deep down the line, you know, go up a couple of rounds and take him. Again, tack on in trades, deeper leagues, you know, monitor in terms of rookie drafts. If you have a free agent rookie draft, something like that, and there is no, you can take someone that's a free agent. He's a free agent in the league. That's definitely a monitor. We'll see, you know, we're going to watch for what happens in free agency with Gio's thing and all that stuff. But if you can sort of strike now as a throw in on the back end of a deal, do it, right? I think that's a one to look for. He had a pretty good college profile as well. So hyper efficient. Again, you're looking super, super cheap. But if you can tack him on the back end of a deal, I think it's a really good idea. Miles Gaskin, I'm going to do a full review probably of him in the next week or so, just because I think he's a player that we need to rethink probably. Second in terms of yards per route run out of guys that qualify the next gen stats, that's just behind Kamara. And that's ahead of a lot of other guys that have a lot more name cachet. And when you look at some of his stats, it jumps off the page to you about how he ended up with this job. Again, it's low pedigree. So does that happen, right? Does this, the problem with all of these things is do we expect it to continue, right? Do we expect him to face competition? All of that stuff is absolutely a huge question mark. A quarter of a yard over expectation. That was 25th in terms of rank, so that's good. You know, that's above average. I think there's 55 qualifiers, so well above average. You know, yards after contact wasn't great. I was 42nd, but again, second in terms of yards per route run. That's a trump card type stat. I mean, ahead of guys like Eckler, and it's a who's who up in the top there. Right? This isn't a mistake. Eckler's 4, Swift is 6. Actually, Raheem Mostert's tied at 4 as well. So, I mean, when you sort of look at these things, you're like, all right, like this is really, really interesting in terms of some of those stats. Notably, Chris Carson is actually 10th in terms of yards per route run. That was an eye-opening one for me as well. So throw him in, mention him. I think that's a couple of names there. Other guys in that range are, you know, J.D. McKissic, Nyheim Hines, right? Jonathan Taylor's up there as well. So when you look at these guys, you're like, all right, like that's probably not a mistake. Aaron Jones, right? That's basically the top 10. I didn't do them in order, but those are guys that are hashtag good at receiving, right? This isn't a mistake stat. So it's really interesting there in terms of, again, if he's available on, he's definitely not available in the waiver wire or anything like that, but if he's available in trades, if people are not buying him, again, cost is key, right? So he's going running back 26. He's going right about 204 in terms of startup drafts. That's, you know, with rookie pick 204, maybe a little rich for me. But again, you sort of look at who's going right behind him is Devin Singletary. Like, who would I rather have? Like, I don't know. Myles Gaskin seems like he could have a difference-making role. I don't – that range of outcomes just doesn't seem attainable for a guy like Devin Singletary. So, you know, when you look at – I would be open to the idea that he's maybe a little bit more of a throw-in, and you almost can catch a middle on him. And what I like to do with guys that are, quote, sell highs is if – really be open to the idea that people aren't selling at the height, right? They're like, oh, they're hearing all this analysis. I need to sell high. And then they sell for like 75 cents on the dollar of what the high actually is, right? So you can sort of catch that, you know, you're basically catching a middle there on that. That would be something I'm absolutely looking to do. So he's a throw in on trades. You know, if you go in 2 for 2, you know, make it 3 for 2, you know, make it 3 for 3, and sort of move around an asset, throw him in there. Again, if you're looking 10th round, to get a starting, someone that has the potential to be a starting running back in the 10th round is actually pretty good value. Again, nothing else in his profile points to this outside of, you know, he was a starting running back in college for a while, you know, played for a long time, but got overlooked in the draft. But that yards per route run stat is pretty eye-opening. So I'd be open to that, to his potential here going forward. You know, dodging rookies, dodging free agency, those are big landmines. But if you can get him more in the range of like a 15th round valuation in a startup, in a pick, in a trade, I think that's absolutely a good speculative bet that a smart franchise, I can't believe I'm saying this about the Dolphins, a smart franchise will get it right. So that's something I'm probably going to do a deeper look on him. Will be the resident Myles Gaskin podcast here. But yeah, definitely interested in that. The next one is Nyheim Hines, is that I wanted to mention. He was up there in the top of yards per route run. Again, this is he's 35th in terms of real draft position. And honestly, like if you sort of look and say, hey, what's the archetype for running backs in 2021? Right, like they look a lot more like Austin Eckler and Nyheim Hines than they really do Derrick Henry. Right, so I think that's an interesting, and again, that's a smart franchise, right? So he's absolutely due for a pay raise. We'll see if he gets held there. Again, there's questions and concerns about the quarterback situation, right? Is it, you know, Philip Rivers just provides gas on a fire for receiving running backs, but you have two of them that were both very good, and that holds up, right? That is consistent with their profile. These things don't appear to be out outlier stats between him and Taylor, right? That lines up with what we know about them. So I'm really interested in that. We'll see who the starting quarterback is, but he's one that, again, can kind of consistently outkick his cost, just because he sort of fits what the role is. Again, is that a top 12 running back? Probably not. But if you're sort of looking in the 35s, I mean, guys in that range, just again, I mentioned some of them before when I was talking about Gaskin, but you know, you're looking at guys like, you know, Carson's in that range. Damian Harris is in that range. I mentioned him in a bit here. Zach Moss is in that range. Again, Nyheim Hines probably has higher upside than Zach Moss does. David Johnson, Tony Pollard, right? Darnell Mooney is going ahead of him. Chase Edmonds is going ahead of him. We'll talk about him in a second as well. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the range that you're looking at. Jeff Wilson's in that range. It's actually not a pretty interesting range to be in on some of these guys. So, yeah, so that's one that, again, is he, does some of these other guys' profiles maybe being higher upside guys? Yes. But in terms of some usability, that's an interesting one. Again, I think his price, this might be the most efficient we ever see him. That's possible, because the quarterback situation might get worse. But he's one that I'm watching and monitoring what they do, because I think it could make him continue to be relevant. This one jumped off the page to me. Wayne Gallman was fourth in terms of yards after contact and ninth in terms of rushing yards over expectation. So in a year where he comes and fills in for an injured Saquon Barkley, absolutely produces very well. And so that's one that I don't know if he comes back as a running back two there or if he goes someplace else. And I doubt he's going to get like a week one crack at a starting job. But it certainly can earn himself another one injury away guy. So he's not a guy that we're shedding or anything like that. I think I think at worst you're going to see him in a one injury away type situation. This isn't like a Peyton Barber situation where he kind of plays himself out of that. So played very well. Again, hyper efficient in terms of what he was given. DJ Dallas jumped off the page to me, 1.31 yards per route run. So that's well above average. Again, that's, there's a lot of question marks there. Carson is a free agent. Carlos Hyde is a free agent. And Rashad Penny, we haven't really seen him play. So, again, spec, we're talking spec really deep. Again, throw in and trades. Just taking these shots. He's 67th in terms of RDP, 285 overall. Again, so that's free. Right. And so people always say, hey, what do you target late in a draft? Let's target lotto tickets. Right? Let's target scratch offs. Again, if you cut him because they draft three running backs, right, you didn't lose anything. And that's not going to happen. Right. So I think at worst, he's going to be like a running back three. Maybe they sign one of the guys back or, you know, they draft somebody or sign someone free agency or whatnot. But it's absolutely running back twos in the range of outcomes and sort of fits what they like to do. So I'm interested in that. Other one here that I was looking at, Kalen Ballage. Again, his sort of rise in relevancy was interesting. 23rd in terms of yards per route run. So that's just a little bit above average. Joshua Kelly is a comp to him. Again, same offense. He was 1.14. So again, they're the same, essentially the same there. Ballage outpaced him a little bit in terms of yards after contact, but that was 2.5 to 2.3 for Kelly, 48 and 53rd in terms of qualifiers. Over expectation, both of them pretty bad. Back 10 or so of the league there in terms of Ballage and Kelly. So not convinced that there's a – I think Justin Jackson, if he's back, is an interesting potential guy there in terms of he has some pass-catching efficiencies, and we'll see what the offense looks like. But I don't think either of these guys showed all that well, right? So and Ballage is kind of bouncing around. He's on the fringes of the NFL at this point, so that didn't really do much to help him. A couple more here in terms of some names that we might be interested in relevant. Malcolm Brown, pretty bad, 0.59 yards per route run. That's 54th out of 55 qualifiers, 49th in terms of yards after contact, and 49th in terms of rushing yards over expectation as well. So that was despite being fifth in expected yardage, right? So that's That's not great. That is not good. So he way underperformed. Again, those two things are independent of each other. But he had that speaks to me, he had a really good opportunity and sort of fell on his face. So when you look at some of these stats, you'll see, this is why yards per carry is bad, right? Oh, 4.1, like, okay, that's good. But he was 0.45 yards below expectation, right? So that's pretty not good. Again, that's 49th in terms of the stat, 54th in terms of yards after contact, and 48th in terms of the yards per route run stat. I think I said 54th before, but yeah, 48. So bottom 10 and really adding anything. So that's not great. One other guy, I mean, obviously the story there with the Rams is, so I would say you can cut Malcolm Brown. I mean, I probably wouldn't just straight cut him, but he's going to be a cut candidate. We'll see what he ends up in free agency. We've seen him have other interest in teams. So, I mean, I'll be open to that. Hey, maybe this is an injury or something like that. Be open to the idea that maybe he lands someplace as a committee type guy. But I think in terms of him being a human hand grenade, I think that ship has probably sailed based on some of the stuff that he did this year. One player that I think absolutely firmly put himself in the, hey, he can win you a league situation. It's going to be, we could write a chapter in the analytics of Dynasty about Darrell Henderson. Overvalued, undervalued, now basically a one injury away guy. That's absolutely something we can be into, right? Day two prospect. He's going to be late in drafts in terms of it's coming off an Acres, a really strong Acres finish. And when you look at some of the expectations, he's about average in terms of rushing yards over expectations, 34th in terms of yards after contact. Again, so a little bit below average. But then his yards per route run is 28th, right? So he's basically like firmly average as a qualifiers. You'll absolutely take that. And again, if he's going to be a faller in price, we're interested. Again, tack on in trades, thinking about him in terms of that, the scope of that 194 overall, that's running back 43. That's 17th round is what we're talking. That's absolutely the range in which if you can get a day two running back who's a one injury away guy, that's something you have to hammer down on, right? So that's running back with one injury away possibilities, especially day two pedigree, and that's tight end range, right? That's a great range for Darrell Henderson. So going with Jamal Williams, Gus Edwards is in that range. I mean, just some of these guys that are going really late. I mean, Jeff Wilson's in that range as well. He's going a couple rounds ahead. But if you can sort of accumulate, you know, one of the things that I really like to do in drafts is just keep accumulating picks, right? Just get ahead, right? Get two for ones. And you don't have to move down far, but hey, give me – and this is a draft that actually you can do this in, right? This is a year you can do this because, one of the things – I think there's actually an incentive to move up. This is crazy. I never say this. But if you can do it without mortgaging future picks, and you can sort of basically go, hey, second, and you can move from second to first, and your drop is fourth to seventh, you're not really missing out, right? I don't think you're missing out in between the fourth and the seventh. I think it's the same range. And so the same thing goes later on too, right? If you can sort of go, hey, I'll move fourth to I'll move fourth to fifth and pick up a 16th, right, or something like that, right? Check out the trade calculator. But that's actually not as bad this year as it would be other years. So I'm really, really, really interested in that range. Again, moving, targeting these guys. And I'm going to do, like I said, the tiers are going to come out. I got to sort of structure them, right? I want to sort of convey sort of the investments we're making. But that's absolutely going to be one of those things where it's going to be like hammer time between rounds 10 and like 16, 17 in terms of you can really nab, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys in that range that we really like as running backs. Something I'm really excited for. So thinking about stocking up in picks, sliding down the board, picking up a pick in the range. I think it's a great, great process this year because there's going to be a lot of interesting guys. So that would be sort of my take on just some, just kind of a potpourri, if you will, of running backs and some of the values that we're seeing. So again, I'm pretty excited for some of these guys. Again, not all of them are going to turn out, right? Some of these guys could be pumpkins, but I think it's interesting in terms of looking at guys in that range, you know, deeper down the line, just keeping attuned to it, you know, constantly evolving, constantly thinking, and striving for, you know, high upside outcomes. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.